This is episode number 75 with data visualization consultant at the Information Lab, Rachel Pong.
Welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. My name is Kirill Eremenko, data science coach and lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you inspiring people and ideas to help you build your successful career in data science. Thanks for being here today, and now let's make the complex simple.
Hello and welcome to the Super Data Science Podcast. Today we've got a success story from Rachel Pong. Rachel is and was a student on at Super Data Science on our courses. And a while back in, I think it was September last year, I spoke with Rachel for the first time. And back then she was still searching for her career. She knew that analytics has value. She was looking into learning SQL, but she didn't know where everything was going. And I was really hopeful that she will find a way, she'll find a path for herself. And today when we spoke, it was so exciting because it's only been 10 months or so since then. And Rachel has completely transformed. She's got a very exciting job. She's a consultant in the space of data visualization at the Information Lab, which some of you may have already heard about. She's using Tableau and Alteryx to drive significant value to different organizations. She's learned so much, and she's super excited about the future. So it was a great, great catch-up, and I can't wait to share all of this with you. And of course, in this podcast, you'll learn about Rachel's journey. So she'll tell you about how she went from there, from where she was some time ago, and from her previous career in finance to where she is now. You'll also learn about Tableau and Alteryx. Of course, we'll go into more detail and depth on what the Information Lab is, how they're set up, what the data school at the Information Lab is, and Rachel will give you some tips on how you can get into or how you can apply for the data school as well. And finally, I find that this podcast is a great example of, a very inspirational example of somebody who really wanted something and then they just put in their effort and time into it and eventually they got it and they got a great career. And now the world is their oyster. So I'm very excited to share this with you. And without further ado, I bring to you Rachel Pong, a data visualization consultant at the Information Lab. Hello and welcome everybody to the Super Data Science Podcast. Today I've got a very dear guest. Today we've got Rachel Pong on the podcast. Rachel is a data visualization consultant at the Information Lab. Rachel, welcome to the podcast. Super happy to have you here.
Hi, it's Carol. Thanks for having me.
Rachel, we met quite a long time ago. I think it was end of last year, I think September or October. And
that's right.
You were already a student in one of my courses, is that correct?
That's right, yes. I was doing the data science A to Z.
Oh yeah, that's correct. And and so it was very interesting to chat to you then. You told me about how you were looking for some opportunities in the space of finance, as far as I remember. And then you came to understand that data science is a very important element in today's job marketplace. Is that correct? Tell us a bit more about what you were going through back then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There seemed to be a lot of opportunities that required data skills and data knowledge, especially in the field of credit risk. There were a lot of opportunities for people with SQL skills in particular. So that was what really piqued my interest. I wasn't actually working on that more techie side. I was more working on as a fund manager. So again, looking at data quite intensively, but and taking action on what I could see in the data rather than really manipulating it too much. So mm-hmm. I was really the end user.
Okay. And tell us a bit more about your background. So You were already in the working in the space of finance, is that correct?
That's right.
And how
I
did
was
you,
fund manager.
okay, and how did you come to that career path?
I guess it was something that I planned for since university. I did a degree in economics, econometrics, and finance, and then I did a master's in finance and management. So I was really looking at the space of finance quite keenly, and I managed to land a role with Fitch Ratings, which is a credit analysis company in London, and things were going quite well until the financial crisis hit in 2008, and things have been a bit rocky since then.
Okay, and so, and that's what led you to at the end of 2000, what was it, 16 last year, to be looking for new opportunities. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, I was looking at from who the senior people that I'd spoken to within the finance and particularly asset management industry. It didn't seem since 2008 to be such a hot area, such a growth area. There was a lot of regulation, and jobs seemed to be definitely not growing as much as they used to be. So I was really looking to move into an industry in a space where there was growth. Obviously, I'm not looking to retire just yet. So obviously, I'm thinking of a long-term career plan. I'm looking at something that where there will be opportunities in the future where I can grow and, build up my skills.
Gotcha. And
So
that's how data science came up.
that's right. Yes, there's a lot of hype from the research that I could see about data science, and obviously that there's a lot of hype continuing now. And I thought that given my background in analysis and statistics, and again having been the end user of all this data, that it would be quite a natural sort of sideways movement to move into data.
Okay, makes sense. And now let's fast forward 8 months, or it's almost been like 12, or so it's about like 10 months up until now. Where are you at now? How has your career and the search for a career changed, and where has it brought you?
So I've actually managed to have a role as a data consultant, and the way I got into this role was quite interesting. After having taken the Data Science A to Z course, which was what really opened my eyes to a lot of different software packages and different tools out there in data science, one of which was Tableau. I was living in Birmingham at the time with my parents, and there was a Tableau event that Tableau held in Birmingham, and so
Oh,
I
wow, what a
managed to,
coincidence.
it worked out well, and so I managed to go along for this event, and I spoke to the presenters during the networking session, and one of them said, "Oh, if you're not currently working, you should actually go check out this data school. It's down in London, and it could be a fantastic opportunity." What they do is they offer paid training, and after training you for 4 months in Tableau, you're learning from Zen masters, and this was from a Zen master himself. So I know it wasn't a scam or something, even though it sounded a bit like a scam. It was almost too good to be true. But they offer paid training. It's a fixed term contract, and then you go out and work with clients. You help them with their data. You use Tableau every day. You get really good at it, and at the end of that, the world's at your feet. So I
Wow.
thought that sounds like a good idea.
That's so cool.
So
Yeah,
yeah, it
so
was really cool.
just to recap, you took the data science A to Z course, then you they happened to be, and then there you learned about Tableau, which was one of the tools in the course. Then there happened to be a conference or like an event run by Tableau in your city, where you met a person during a networking session who told you about this data science school, which you thought was a good idea, and you went to check it out. What a chain of events that led to where you are. That's so crazy.
Yeah, it all happened within, I don't know, a couple of weeks really. And that Zen master, Rob Radburn, actually came to present at the data school. He came down to visit us, and I said, "Hi, remember me? I was at this event a month ago, and you told me to come here, and here I am." He said, "Yeah, that's really cool. It's just in about 4 weeks, everything just happened really quickly, just took off."
That's so cool. Yeah, so tell us a bit more about the data school. So first of all, what is this data school? And what is, as far as I know, you're in the, it's by the Information Lab. So tell us about the Information Lab and their data school.
Okay, so the Information Lab is a Tableau partner. They're actually a partner of, there's two technologies that they partner with. One of them is Tableau and the other one is called Alteryx. And they offer sales, but also consultancy and support for both of these softwares. And another thing they offer is training. And they realized that at the rate that they were looking to grow and the way the industry was growing, there just wasn't enough expertise, that they weren't enough consultants to take on the work. So they realized that they were in a position to train people up themselves. So that's what they started doing. So they run they recruit 8 people every 4 months to train. Mm-hmm. And the training program runs for 4 months. And then after 4 months, you go out as a consultant to work with their clients for 6 months at a time. And you do that for 3 placements. And at the end of the 3 placements and the training, that's a 2-year fixed term contract that you're bound to. And then after that, there are a variety of options that you could take part in. You could either join the Information Lab as a consultant, or you could join one of the clients, or you could do your own thing. Or it's quite a new program. So we're only just starting to see where the alumni are going with their lives and their careers. It's quite exciting.
That's so interesting. And was it hard to get into? You said they only take, was it 8 people every 4 months?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, the application process is quite interesting. They're not interested in your resume. They're not interested in your CV. I don't think they even look at your LinkedIn. All they want to know is what can you do in Tableau? Mm. And people are self-taught. Again, myself, I just took all your Tableau courses that I could find, you know, advanced Tableau and all the cute Tableau Q&A. And they asked that you build something with a public data set that they supply to you in Tableau Public.
Yep.
And then once it's up there, they'll give you feedback and they'll speak to you, and you need to be able to present it. And that is the basis of the application, basically.
Oh, that's so cool. And so what you learned from the courses was sufficient for to do their challenge?
Yes. I would say that from what I learned from your courses, that was really helpful. And I've since spoken to somebody who's actually in training now, who's in the current cohort of Data School, who also said that he used your Tableau and advanced Tableau courses and Udemy to help him prepare for his data school application. So thanks for getting us in.
thanks for sharing. That's so cool. I'm so excited. I didn't know that that part. That's so interesting. And so you've been in this data school for how long now?
I've been working with the Information Lab for 6 months. So 4 months has been with the data school on the training, and then I've been with the client now for 2 months.
Okay, that's really
my
cool.
First placement.
That's really cool. And so, can you share a bit more details about this client? Is that okay? Not too confidential.
Yeah, that's fine. They actually provide services to the shipping industry. They've been around for a long time. They're called ISS, and they're basically shipping agents. And they have a lot of data on ports and just things that get shipped around the world. And again, given that they've been around for about, I think it's 150 years.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, not all of their data, you know, we're not going to go back in time, but they have really established connections. So it's really interesting to look at some of the movements of goods and ships around the world, and, you know, seeing that side of things that perhaps a lot of people don't really think about too much on a day-to-day basis, and being able to create data visualizations in Tableau, especially with the mapping abilities of Tableau. That's quite cool.
That's so interesting. And such a big shift from a career in finance to a career in data visualization, where right now at the moment you're doing visualization for a shipping company. How does that make you feel?
I'm really excited. That was one of my main pushes to move into data, that I felt, well, I've been working in finance for 8 years. I've been studying finance for 4 years. That is obviously, that shows you one view of the world, and that does cross industries. But to cross industries in such a much more hands-on way as a data consultant, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so how long does this placement last for? And when do you already know who you're going to go on to the next client?
This is a 6-month placement, and I don't know yet where I'll be moving on to after this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure it's going to be something very exciting as well. And so is it correct that you're going to have like total 4 or 5 placements during these couple of years?
It's 3 placements. They're quite long. They're for 6 months each.
Okay. And then after that, you get to choose where, if you want to stay as a consultant or go join one of the clients or let your career take you wherever.
That's right. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. So that's very interesting and very exciting for you. Definitely very excited about that. Tell us a bit more about what you learned about Tableau. Well, first of all, for those of our listeners who don't know what Tableau is, maybe let's start there. What is Tableau in a nutshell?
It's a software that allows you to see and understand your data.
Yeah, that's their mission. I think you just quoted the mission.
I guess, yeah. But I think that says it quite clearly. I think I can't say any better than they say it themselves.
Okay, and why would you recommend somebody learn Tableau, or what would you say to somebody who's used to visualizing data in Excel?
I would say it's like you really take off with Tableau. If you're from an Excel background, most of us are from an Excel background, and suddenly you feel like you can fly with Tableau. I think a lot of the capability of Tableau, a lot of the speed, even just working with the size of data. I think now Excel has the ability to deal with like 1 million rows of data, whereas I think, I don't know how many rows Tableau can deal with, but it's definitely, I've worked on data sets that are much, much bigger than 1 million or several million rows of data.
Okay, and I personally also totally agree with that. I think Tableau just has, it's a tailored tool to visualization, has much better capabilities in visualizing data than Excel. Okay, so Tableau, and tell us what you learned about Tableau in those 4 months, because it's great to take courses on Tableau, but in 4 months you probably learned so much more. Can you share a few insights from there?
Sure. So aside from Tableau, the other package the other software that we use is Alteryx, and you often quote this statistic that I've requoted, that you, when you're doing data analysis, the reality of it is that you spend probably 70% of your time doing the ETL component, right? The extract, transform, load. Maybe you're doing it in Excel, maybe you're doing it in SQL, and it can be quite tedious. It can be quite challenging, and Alteryx is one tool that tries to address that. And it's drag and drop. Like it works quite well with Tableau. You're not expected to know much programming. Maybe if you want to do some if statements or logic Boolean statements, so that works. But basically, you drag and drop these icons, and they create a visual workflow where you can transform your data, and you configure each tool as you go along, and it gives out your data in a format that you can then put into your visualization tool, in this case Tableau, and it's in the right shape for you
okay.
to start visualizing. So that's quite cool. we mostly use it for, or I've mostly used it for data preparation in that way, but it's also got some really cool capabilities, including spatial. So you can look at maps, and distances, and drive times, and those sorts of functionalities. But one thing that I think your listeners would certainly find interesting is that it's got predictive tools as well. So by predictive, what they mean is, I'm just going to open my predictive tool set now in Alteryx and go through some of the R tools that they have. Basically, it's built on R, and I've got an icon for decision tree. I've got an icon for linear regression, support vector machines. So you can drag those in, and rather than writing out the R code, you can run your data through them just based on how you've configured it within the workflow. So that's quite another interesting functionality of Alteryx.
Okay, so Alteryx you use for the ETL process before Tableau, and also you can use for data some algorithms like in a drag and drop form. Okay, so that's pretty cool. And did you use Alteryx on your placement right now?
Yes, I use it hand in hand with Tableau. So as I'm going through Tableau, I think, oh, I could really use this in a different format. Or the client recently, what I've done is the client's come back and said, oh, can we look at this with this other column added in? And then you can go back into Alteryx and join that back in into the data, and then bring it back into Tableau and visualize it again. So that's quite a good functionality.
Okay. And I don't think I've used Alteryx before, or definitely not in depth. Is it a tool that you can use without Tableau, or is it something that you need Tableau to use Alteryx?
No, you can use it completely independently from Tableau.
Mm, okay, that's really interesting. Okay, that's very good. And also you mentioned, I think, that you've taken the Tableau exam, is that right?
That's right. So Tableau's got two levels of exams. It's got the QA, which is the Qualified Associate exam, and then it's also got the Certified Professional exam. And the Certified Professional is quite advanced, actually. There are a few people who are very experienced with Tableau at the Information Lab who have taken or are taking that exam. But as part of the data school, we're all expected to pass the easier exam, which is the Qualified Associate exam. And that is a 2-hour long open book exam. So you can Google anything, which is interesting. And it asks you technical questions, which are multiple choice. And it also asks you some kind of more theoretical questions about Tableau. So, and that includes Tableau Server. So that's something that we're all expected to pass by the end of the first 4 months. I think one cohort, they were all expected to do in their first or second week or something. So that's interesting.
Okay, and those open book exams are usually tricky, right? It seems like
very
you can do
tricky.
Yeah, but you don't have enough time if you just get carried away Googling things.
Yeah, and also the way that Tableau words the questions as well, they're a bit difficult to, you know, they're a bit vague sometimes. So that's something else to watch out for.
Okay, and so you.
But I think
it's a
pretty interesting experience to go through.
So you passed the QA exam.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, congratulations. That's really cool. So you're a qualified associate of Tableau now.
Thank you. Yes, I am.
That's awesome. Okay, and so Tableau, Alteryx, and this is very interesting because I've personally found this myself as well, that there's so many different data science tools out there and data science techniques, methodologies, algorithms, but often if you get really good at just a couple of them, that's enough to solve like 80% of the problems you come across. Would you say that is the case for you, that with Tableau and Alteryx, you feel equipped and confident to take on almost any challenge that comes your way in your current placement?
Yeah, definitely. I do think that the client that we're working for are also quite aware of the abilities of Tableau and Alteryx, that they've been using it for some time. So it's again working hand in hand to understand, I guess, the limitations of the software, but also the power of the software. So they will pose those questions that they think can be answered, and they know the capabilities of Tableau and Alteryx well enough that they throw some good challenges at us, I would say.
Okay, gotcha. And I think this is very inspirational for those out there who, like, let's start here, that a lot of the time now, especially, we hear more and more that data science, like machine learning, is taking over data science, that you have to know machine learning. Machine learning is very important. And that's true. Like, machine learning is very important. It's becoming more and more dominant. But at the same time, there are and always will be people who are just not comfortable with that level of, you know, programming, of that level of coding, that level of sophistication of the algorithms, and on like kind of like the technical side behind them that you need to understand and master. And I think your example is very inspirational to people like that who want to be in data science but don't necessarily want to do machine learning per se. I want to explore other areas of data science. And you doing Alteryx and Tableau and feeling confident about taking on data science challenging, that's very, it's a good motivation. It's a good testament to the fact that if you want to be in data science, you can always find a way, a path for yourself, a career for yourself, which doesn't have to conform to what the majority of the data science positions expect you to have or to know, or what the majority of the people are doing, for instance, like learning, machine learning, or other things. And there's always a way to structure your own career. So what would you say to people out there who want to be in data science but are kind of like a bit thrown off by the claims of machine learning or even more sophisticated things like deep learning or AI? Would you say that there's still room for them to have a very successful and inspiring and exciting career in data science?
Oh, absolutely. What's one of the strengths, I guess, of the data school is the diversity of people's backgrounds. I know one person who's got a degree in computer science, and I think that's it. I think out of the 48 people that they've taken on so far, there've been people from really diverse backgrounds, a very interesting use case of data analytics actually is in sports.
Okay.
Sports analytics. And there are a few people who have come through data school who are from a sports background, a sports analytics background, or sports. I think one person right now who's in training has a sports trading background.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of room for a lot of different backgrounds in data visualization. And I would say, for me, one of the challenging aspects was not so much the technical side, but I think my creative skills are quite rusty. So having to design things and think about usability and the end user and how things look and how people who don't have a lot of time and need to look at something and be able to understand what you are trying to tell them and designing for that and just thinking around all these different questions, these were the fresh challenges for me.
Hmm. Interesting. And how did you go about upskilling on those challenges?
Practice. So, yeah, in data school, we've got a lot of real client projects that come our way. So aside, before we even get out to the 6 months of sitting at the client office, we have a shorter term, they call them client projects. So the client comes in on a Monday, gives you a brief, and on Friday, you need to deliver an answer to their question.
Mm.
And so again, every week we've got presentations. We practice our presentation skills. So that was quite new for some people as well. But by the end of the 4 months, you, as one of my classmates said, you just get bored of being anxious every week.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just get up there and you just present. And they're not long presentations, but it's just, again, getting used to that experience. And yeah, being able to gather requirements from the client on Mondays, when they come in and present, make sure you're asking them the right questions so that you understand what the deliverables are on Friday, being able to communicate well with the client, and generally client management, expectations management, basically more of these consultancy soft skills, I would say, are also a very key part of data school, of the training that we get. And yeah, after doing that for 4 months, by the time you come out of that and the other side projects that they're always being kind of thrown our way, by the end of that, then you get a feel for things a bit better. It's something I still need to practice, definitely. And I'm still trying to look for data sets and think about what the best way to communicate insights and just looking at other people's visualizations as well, looking at things and critiquing them for yourself, just saying thinking through the process of what you like, what you don't like, and why, what works, what doesn't work, reading other people's blogs about their own or other people's visualizations as well. That's a good thing to look out for. The head coach of the data school, Andy Kriebel, he actually has a community project that he calls Makeover Monday, and he runs that every week along with a lady from a company called Exasol called Eva Murray. And every Sunday afternoon, they publish a data set to the website, and it's just open to people all over the world, and they download it, and they have over the week, everybody create something and they post it on Twitter with the hashtag Makeover Monday. And then at the end of the week, either Andy or Eva will do an analysis again of everyone's had the same data set. Everyone's come up with a completely different take on it. This is what we liked, what we really liked. And, you know, this is what we want to see more of. I don't think they give too much negative feedback because it's really targeted at encouraging people to participate. And it's quite a good way to learn, I would say.
So anybody can participate in that?
That's right, yeah. Just go over to the Makeover Monday website, download the data, and then make something in Tableau Public.
Okay, no, that's fantastic. That's highly encourage all the listeners to check that out. And very interesting how you described this training that you go through at data school. It sounds like they've really got a robust training approach to training with real clients coming in, and you're actually feeling talking to them at the start and then presenting at the end, feeling anxious and stuff like that. That's a very good training, like training with fire, right? It's not just textbook training, but actual live work training. So that's really cool. I wish there was more of that. And it's a shame they only take 8 people per what is it, every 3 or 4 months you mentioned. So it'd be really cool if a lot more people could have the opportunity to go through a training like that.
I would say yes, it is. But I would say there are also ways to that listeners can benefit from, obviously not the entire experience with the clients and everything and the presentations. But I think that at least with the Tableau and the community, there are other benefits that anyone can gain.
Okay, tell us more about that.
So one of the things, as I mentioned, was the Makeover Monday. If you participate in Makeover Monday and participate in the community, and by the community, I mean keep up with Twitter, and there are people posting things on Twitter, posting things on Tableau Public. And I think now on Tableau Public, it's quite cool. They put a social aspect so you can follow people. So, I don't know, follow a few people whose work you like and see what they're publishing on Tableau Public and reach out to them on Twitter and engage with them. One thing that's really cool is that the Tableau conference is, obviously, it's quite expensive to actually attend in person, but all the videos are available online for free. So you can just tune in and, you know, at your own leisure and try and learn something, maybe set aside some time on a weekly basis to watch and implement what you've learned from the videos. And Andy again has a YouTube channel where he publishes Tableau Tip Tuesdays and all sorts of quirky things that you can follow and learn from. And getting involved with your local Tableau user group. I know a previous podcast guest was running her own Tableau user group, and that's actually a thing. And Tableau encourages it, and basically everyone in a local area who uses Tableau gets together and talks Tableau and talks about what they're working on. And in London, it's quite big, and there are quite a lot of large corporate clients who have really adopted Tableau. And obviously, there's a massive Tableau office here, so there's a huge community. But I think even in places where there isn't such a huge community, I think just building that up would be quite cool.
Okay.
Another thing I would say is to follow blogs. A lot of Tableau is something that people like to blog about, whether it's their most recent viz or something new and cool that they learned, or even the data school has a blog where when I was part of the data school, I also had to blog. Part of our homework was to blog regularly. So you blog about the things you've learned, something new you learned today that you didn't know before, or you blog about the experience of being at the data school. There are just a few different topics that we're given or guidance to on blog posts. So that's something that you could follow as well.
Okay, that's really cool. So you mentioned quite a few things so far, like, for instance, the community, the blogs, the meetup groups, the Makeover Monday. So that's really very valuable sources. But out of curiosity, what has been the most valuable source for you personally? What has, you've undergone such a huge transformation from when we spoke back in September till now, and you've really gotten your career on track. What has been the biggest supplementary source? Of course, probably the biggest change came through data school and the information lab. But in addition to that, what has been the biggest second source for you in terms of information and inspiration and learning?
I would say probably Twitter.
Twitter, interesting.
Following things on, following other users on Twitter, watching what people are creating and posting. And again, that kind of ties into Tableau Public as well. I follow, I don't know how many people, I follow loads of people on Tableau Public. And a lot of them are quite regular. They'll post something quite regularly, or they participate in Makeover Monday. And just looking at how so many people approach the same data set so differently and learning from that. Or sometimes somebody's done something that they've tweaked something and you just think, I've never thought of doing it like that before. Or they do something that you didn't even know Tableau could do. And then you reach out to them and say, hey, how do you do that? I didn't know you could do that. And then they might write a blog post about it because a few people have asked them the same question. So that's that whole interactivity. And again, I keep using the word community, but that's what it comes back to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really cool. Very interesting breakdown of what's going on in the space of Tableau and especially in the information lab and data school. And it looks like you've got everything sorted out. What are you excited the most about for your career going forward?
What am I excited the most about? I guess, the fact that you, with a background in data visualization and understanding the key concepts, whether that's in Tableau or maybe next year some other software will be even more amazing or whatever that is. But being able to work across different industries and being able to see the world from different lenses, and just, I guess I'm quite nosy like that. So I get to poke my nose into, oh, this is what they do in shipping, and this is what they do in, a fast-moving consumer goods company, and, this is how they do things in a supermarket. And really the whole consultancy angle and being able to add value by helping people understand data, the data they've got. And that's not only from a commercial aspect. Another thing that's another community initiative that I feel like I should highlight is there's a hashtag, I guess, Data Viz for Social Good, which is a bit of a mouthful, but there are that somebody out there is publishing a data set of social issues that they feel that they that need more attention, and they're calling on the community to help them present this data in a way that that really captures people's attention. And as you as and obviously through engaging with the data set yourself, you learn about some social issues, whether that's education in India or, you know, women's rights, or I think the one of the more recent ones was unemployment in Latin America, or I think UN agencies and the work that they do and how they collaborate. So there are a lot of social aspects, I think, as well. And I think that's something that's very exciting about data, that it's not confined to any one particular use. So you know, use it for, as the name says, data viz for social good.
Okay. That's very, very inspiring. And the reason why I asked this question was to for this follow up question that comes now. Like, compare how you felt back then when you were, when we spoke the first time, when you were unsure where your career is going to go and what's going to happen, and how you feel now. Can you tell us what the difference is? Because a lot of our listeners are currently in your shoes where you were 8 or 9 or 10 months ago. So tell us what the difference in feeling is.
It feels great. I feel much more confident that I know where my career is going, where my profession is going. And I feel like there are so many more opportunities in a way compared to working in finance. This is something where I feel also, maybe this is a bit of a millennial throwaway, but I feel like it's something where I personally feel that I can add value.
Okay. And what I want to underline here for everybody listening is that this only took less than a year. This transformation for Rachel took like 8 or however many months, but it all boils down to you really need to want it. And as long as you send that energy out there, as long as you're actively looking and working hard on your skills, like Rachel was without a doubt working hard on the courses and learning Tableau and doing practical exercises, and then these opportunities will come up, like going back to that chain of events that led you to the data school. That's a big random chain of coincidences that happened, but it happened because you wanted it so much. You really wanted to have that certainty, and you wanted to experience this amazing feeling of a happy career, of knowing where your life is going, and that's what you have now. And to all of those you listening out there, it's not that hard. It doesn't have to take 10 years or 3 years to become a data scientist. Like a lot of recruiters would say, or a lot of job descriptions say, that you need 5 years of experience in data science to get this job or whatever. It really doesn't. It's not the case. You, as you can see from Rachel's example, within less than a year, you could be in the same position as Rachel and have an amazing, fulfilling, and exciting career in the field that you love and the field that you're pursuing. So that's a very inspirational example. Thank you so much for sharing, Rachel.
That's all right. And to add to that, again, definitely keep an ear out for events. Mm. Keep an ear out for your network. And you've been speaking about conferences lately, and I know you've been attending various conferences. And I would say definitely approach the speaker. Approach other people, network, speak to people, get to know who else is working in the field, and build those connections, because it's I would say it is important to that people know who you are, what you're able to do, And they think of you when they think, oh, you know, I need somebody who knows how to do anything in data science. And they think, oh, I know somebody who's very keen, and I know that they've been doing these online courses, and they've been improving themselves in these ways, and they've been to these conferences. Maybe I should give them a call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Expand your network and make these connections, for sure. And I've got an interesting question for you, which I like to ask guests. This one, you know, I'd like to get your opinion on this, because you are just starting out into the space of data science. You still are so excited, inspired about everything that's going on. It's a great time to be, and you can take on any challenge. Like, I'm sure you have the feeling that you want to take on as many challenges as you can. From what you've seen so far in data science and what you've learned about data science, where do you think this whole field of data science is going? And what are you personally going to be preparing to anticipate what's coming in the future?
I suppose I would keep up, make sure I keep up with what's going on in the field. Definitely, I found your podcasts really useful in that respect. I'm able to keep up with the latest developments. Again, it's such a fast moving field. Recently, we've been talking about AI and how that's changing really quickly, and I think that's really interesting. And yeah, just not getting left behind.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Rachel. Very excited that you shared all your experiences. How can our listeners contact you or follow you or find you if they would like to see where your career takes you from here?
Sure. I've mentioned my Twitter a few times, so they can follow me on Twitter. My handle is data_Rachel. And I would encourage anybody to join Tableau Public as well. And you can find me on Tableau Public and follow my visualizations, my dashboards that I'm creating that for public consumption, obviously not the client ones. And obviously I'm on LinkedIn as well. I go ahead and follow me on LinkedIn, and I'll keep posting updates to my feed there as well.
That's really cool. And you mentioned that during your data school, you wrote some blog posts. Can people find them on the data school website?
Yeah, sure. If you go to the data school website, which is, we'll provide a link in the show notes because it's quite long. And if you just Google the data school or the information lab, there'll be a link to the data school. And on that page, there'll be a link to the blog. And that's got the blog of all the data school participants from the beginning. And if you go to the, I guess that's a page where you can find individual people, and you can click on me, and all my blog posts will show up.
Okay, fantastic. And thank you so much for that. And one final question. What is your one favorite book that you can recommend to our listeners to help them become better data scientists?
I've mentioned that some of the interesting aspects for me, or parts that I haven't really anticipated, have been more in data visualization, have been more about things like thinking about usability and user experience. And there's actually a very broad library on data visualization available, and some well-known names in the field are people like Alberto Cairo, Stephen Few, and David McCandless, and I've not heard of any of them before getting into DataViz. So I've got quite a long reading list, actually. But there are two books that I would say I would recommend, and they're not even by either of those authors. The first one is called Storytelling with Data by Cole Nussbaumer Nafik. I'm just looking at it now, it's on my desk. And this book is actually given out to prospective applicants at the data school interview. So that's quite an interesting guide, I would say. The subtitle to the book is A Data Visualization Guide for Business Professionals. And it just talks about best practices in data visualization, why a bar chart is clearer than a pie chart, what are some common mistakes that people make, and why they're mistakes, basically, why they might not make your chart or your visualization as clear as it could be. So I think that's a really interesting read. And the other book is actually a very new book. It only just came out this year. And one of the authors, there's three authors, and one of the authors was a speaker at that event that I attended in Birmingham, and he was there speaking about his new book or forthcoming book. It's now out. It's called The Big Book of Dashboards, and there are three very experienced authors just looking at a bunch of dashboards, talking about, again, what they liked and what they didn't like. And obviously, they've all got different opinions, and I think it's a good book to get your ideas flowing when you have a data set and you're thinking about a creative way to present your insights.
That's really cool. So storytelling with data and the big book of dashboards, and especially that second one, sounds like a very interesting idea. So yeah, I'd like to check that out too, and encourage those listening to check out those books. So yeah, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the show. We're really excited about everything you shared. Yeah, and good luck with the rest of, or not the rest, but wherever your career takes you from here.
Thank you, Kiro.
So there you have it. That was Rachel Pong from the Information Lab. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I found it very inspiring to witness this transformation that Rachel underwent. And my personal favorite was the fact that Rachel has targeted her career in a specific way. She's not worried about learning the things that she isn't that excited about. She's just doing the things she's excited about. She's just learning Tableau, Alteryx. She's just applying those things. And it's a great testament to that data science is so broad that you can find a niche for yourself. You can decide what you want to learn, whether you want to do Tableau or SQL or machine learning or store data storytelling or use other tools. There's so many things you can do. And if you, for instance, because I know this, that there are lots of people out there who hear that machine learning is, for example, is very important, as we discussed on this podcast, but they're excited about something else. Well, in that case, just do what you're excited about. You don't have to just always follow the hype. You can always find, even in this space, data science, you can always find something that you are personally excited about, passionate about. And as long as you do it really well, like Rachel, you will find opportunities for yourself. So I think that was a very inspiring part of the podcast. And of course, needless to say, the rest of the podcast was filled with lots of inspiration. And make sure to follow Rachel's advice and head on over to the Information Lab website, check out the blog, learn a bit more about the data school, and then perhaps participate in a Makeover Monday, check the Tableau public website, and sign up for a data science conference. That could be very helpful. As you could see, one event led to a whole chain of coincidences in Rachel's life, and that brought her to where she is now, which is very, very exciting. So we're very happy for Rachel, and hopefully she'll have an amazing career and lots of success in the coming months and years. And hopefully you will too. And on that note, as always, you can get the show notes for this episode at www.superdatascience.com/75. And thank you so much for being here. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, happy analyzing.